Okay. So, again, the lands of Lacey Laffrey, this is a minor subdivision off of a private road. The minor subdivision will create two parcels shown as lots 4 and 5 with a residual. The minor subdivision will utilize the existing entrance. The Planning Commission previously approved the creation of the existing lot with a 50-foot easement over the existing entrance back in 2014. Any further subdivision shall require a major subdivision. The property is located on the north side of Chipman's Pond Road across from the Manchester Manor subdivision. The property is zoned AR1 Agricultural Residential District. The tax parcel is District 232, Map 13, Parcel 6, and staff is in receipt of the DLDOT approval. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, having reviewed this plot plan, I'm prepared to make a motion unless it wants to do some discussion on this. I think it's rather straightforward. So we've acted on this at one other point in the past.
Please. We looked at this application with a little bit of hesitation. Commission had approved minor subdivision of this application, and it included the two lots on the front with a combined access side by side, and access to a driveway that was to the west of the Lafferty house, and another entrance to the east of the Lafferty house. The entrances that are labeled as existing have just been built currently, recently, based on entrance permits that were approved by DLDOT. And the entrance to the proposed street was previously drawn, but it was fenced for a horse pasture. So it only goes in so far. Just wanted you to know that it only goes in into the behind the hedgerow.
That's the 50-foot easement.
Yeah.
So the combined entrances, you're saying, have been eliminated?
No, the combined entrance is there, and it serves a recent dwelling that was just built there and occupied.
Right.
So it was kind of confusing. We found the site plan that was approved by the commission to subdivide the parcel previously.
How many lots were in that?
And it's that same location.
We just took one lot.
How many lots were in that subdivision, the first one?
There were three lots, but two of them, they all actually had frontage along the main road.
Right.
So none of them actually were off the anything private. But the Planning Commission did create the 50-foot that opened up to the back.
Right.
That this
Commission
is proposed to be subdivided off of.
Okay.
Created previously, but it was still by plot, but it was still had a fence. Bring up all those. But I just wanted you to know that, because you ride by there, you're going to see a double entrance and then a single entrance, and you're still going to see the fence to the rear of the hedgerow. But it was previously approved by the Commission at the same location.
And it's lot 3 that's now being split off to create lots 4 and 5,
right.
Correct? Yes. So we just
end
up with the 4 lot.
That was the original parcel.
Right, but the 50-foot right-of-way was really only serving the one lot.
Correct. And it was to the rear of the other two.
Okay.
The acreage parcel that were the, basically it was a horse barn that was used for the purpose of had a tractor to train horses.
Right.
And which is still there. Part of it is now the two house lots have already taken up part of that.
Right. So there's a 5 lot subdivision?
No.
Well,
4.
Not really.
Just 2.
Not really two.
Two and a residual.
It's 2 and a residual. Because the two lots on the highway
already exist.
They already exist and are not part of this
application.
They're
not part of this.
They were strip lots.
They already existed. I think the way things are numbered is a little misleading, or just confusing. Not misleading, but just confusing to us. But I think what we're really looking at is the creation of two lots and a residual parcel. But this will be it. If there's anything else, it'll have to be a major subdivision.
I just wanted to make sure you knew that it had previously been approved.
Right.
And that the fence is still there behind the hedge.
Okay. Thank you.
It's been there all because the horses were still being trained on that property before the house was built.
Right. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, regarding this application by Lacey Lafferty for a minor subdivision with a 50-foot private road, my motion is for approval to create the two parcels shown as lots 4 and 5 with a residual, with the stipulation that any further subdivision shall require a major subdivision process application.
Second.
The move and seconded to approve a minor subdivision with a 50-foot private road on lands of Lacey Lafferty, with the stipulation that any further subdivision of the lands will require a major subdivision application. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye opposed? Carried. That completes our other business. We have 3 items of additional business this evening. The first one being a presentation regarding co-housing.
Good evening, gentlemen and Ms. Cornwell. My name is Barbara Vaughn. I'm accompanied by Eric Wall from Element Design, and we're here to talk about co-housing and maybe refresh your memory that we were here some time ago. Doug Warner and Mike Lynn at that time accompanied them, or they accompanied me. And we talked a little bit about the concept of co-housing, which appears in many communities across the United States. And the attraction for me personally is it's the kind of place that I would like to live in as I continue to age. But it's also a place for people who work in the school systems and the hospitals. It could be called workforce housing, and the concept is high density, small lots in a configuration that encourages a sense of community and near amenities so that people who lose their driver's license can have the opportunity to walk to amenities. And I believe I left once upon a time a drawing done by Mr. Wall of what might be just outside the city limits of Lewis, and he will refresh that memory for you. Doug couldn't be with us tonight, but what we would like to do is have a conversation with you about the concept of co-housing and how it could serve the folks in Sussex County. So I'm going to let Eric carry the ball here.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Eric Wall. I'm a landscape architect at Element Design Group, and I put together the plan that's on the first page of your handout, which shows a parcel that's in Sussex County as an example of how this could be ultimately laid out in a co-housing fashion. And what we're trying to spearhead here, I guess, is for future planning efforts in Sussex County, because there's nothing really that this could fit under the current zoning regulations. So on the second page, I have a list of items that should be thought about and discussed when figuring out where this could work in the county. I'll just go over that real quickly. For total land area, we're not really recommending a minimum, because this could actually be considered like an infill project if you get down small enough. The example we have for you on the first page is approximately 8.8 acres. There's 36 dwelling units with a common house or village abbey that would house a central community gathering space, a community kitchen, things of that nature, health amenities. Minimum lot area, I figured out to be about 2,500 square feet. The attached example is actually kind of minimized, so there's no lot lines that you will see. But that 2,500 square feet, if you have 5-foot side yards and a 10-foot front yard could accommodate a 1,000-square-foot dwelling, which is most of the dwellings on that page are 1,000 square feet footprint. There's some larger chalets, we call, that are 1,500 square feet. Parking, I show on that plan 2 spaces per dwelling unit, and then extra parking for the common building or the wellness center. This item could be discussed further, because if we want to promote a walkable community, maybe that parking comes down to 1.5 spaces per unit. Again, the whole concept of co-housing is that you're close to other types of services that you could walk to. Open space, there's approximately 50% on that plan. That includes common areas, stormwater measures, and all the buffers that surround. And then other measures that should be included in discussion are a central wellness center or Village Abbey, village greens or common courtyards that usually the houses surround and face into, ADA accessible paths and trails that connect those homes with the natural areas and common areas of the site, universal home design, which is the phrase now being used for homes that not only accommodate aging in place, but all age groups. And then also sewer and water accessibility. The last page, on the third page, is another example. And this is on a smaller scale. This is 1.58 acres. And this is actually done in Washington State. There's 8 units per acre, with a total of 12 units on this plan. There's a rendered plan to the right that shows the layout. And then there's a perspective drawing in the upper left that shows that configuration.
This has actually been built?
I believe it has. I need to check the website, but I believe it has.
Not too long ago, I visited one in Acton, Massachusetts, on a hillside, which is sort of counterintuitive because climbing up is maybe a little harder than it used to be if you get to be my age. But it was sensational in how it looked. So it's not, you know, there are creative ways to deal with this concept, and it doesn't necessarily have to be flat ground, although in Sussex County, that's not much of an issue.
Probably gonna be.
And a lot of these design elements that meet co-housing also are found in traditional neighborhood design, which you're probably familiar with as TNDs, which means pocket neighborhoods with a village green, one-story living, accessible design, walkability, accessibility to nature, and usually it creates a community, not only in the community center, but also in the open spaces as well.
So the issue for us from a zoning perspective is that we would essentially have to create a classification for this type of housing, and I'm asking that question if anybody wants to answer it, staff or
look at it as part of the comp plan process coming up.
Right.
You know, it would almost work right now in an HR district.
That's just what I was
going to say. But eventually allow an HR 12.
Here's my question. It's completely hypothetical, though. This makes sense. I agree. But we've also had applications for infill, for higher densities, for projects just like this, where people come out in droves in opposition, and one of them was where there was some interconnection with another development. Mm-hmm. I guess, how do we get the public to support this?
Excellent question.
Because, and it's also in an area, what you said, which would be outside of certain towns, which for whatever reason seemed to not like higher density, because the one you showed us was 4 units an acre, which immediately is going to be a flashpoint. So,
well, it's interesting because Doug and I have gone around and talked to a number of stakeholders, and we've gotten nothing but interest and wishful thinking of, you know, this would be something that we would like to support. But they're the exception.
It seems like it's, in our experience, it's great in theory, But when somebody actually applies and applies it to a specific parcel of ground that's next to somebody's home,
I hear you.
The public hearing becomes.
It is in the Lewis's comp plan, and somebody mentioned that that would be a step in the direction that the county might take. I also had the opportunity to introduce this concept to the state housing department, that they had not been, at least the people I talked to, had not been acquainted with it and were intrigued. I think a lot of public relations would have to go into any real advancement of this concept. But I think if we can show some examples of what it would look like, and the not too long ago, after the relatively new Greater Lewis Community Village was formed, we did a survey of our census tract, and one of the questions was, what kind of housing arrangements are most encouraging for you? And 89% of them came back and said, we want to age in our home. We don't want to go to a place where all you see is older folks. And that's one thing about the co-housing. It's multi-generational. It is not an over 55 or over 85. That's high. So, you know, once people sort of get their arms around it, it begins to look a little better.
I think the most important part of the co-housing design concept is you're actually creating a neighborhood and community feel atmosphere, which a lot of times is being lost now with large-scale developments that have no connection to each other or connection to the place.
How large do these types of developments usually get? Because when you're looking at them on this small scale, I think what some of the concern with density is, you know, would we be in a situation where someone's going to come in and try to do 300 of these in one development, so to speak? I mean, you know, that's
my experience in doing research and in visiting a few of these is that they're relatively small, because it's that face-to-face,
right,
that connectivity.
So there wouldn't be a lot of pushback to the notion that you might put a limitation on the number of units, the total number of units you could have under this program on a site, for instance? You know, because to me it looks great at the scale that we're seeing it here. My concern, and you know, one of the things as the keepers of land use that we have to think about every time we have an ordinance is, how will this be used in ways that we didn't think about?
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know, because I'm telling you, all those guys out there, if there's a way to do something, they'll do it. And the C1 thing we were talking about earlier is a perfect example of something that, I don't know why it got written that way, but it was really taken advantage of. We don't know how much C1 land went into what really should have been HR projects, but it was permitted, so you know, we had that to deal with. So having learned from that experience, the thing, you know, one of the things we would be looking at is how, you know, what are the unintended consequences, or the unintended opportunity, you know.
I would have the opportunity to. There's a national kind of organization of co-housing, and I am sure that they have been asked that question. So I will communicate with them and see what they have to tell us about their experiences, pro and con.
I'd be interested to know. I would. I mean, I first of all want to commend your your stick-to-itiveness with this.
I nag him.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm intrigued by it. I think it's something that could be a very valuable resource, and we can't accommodate it right now. I mean, like DeLarne said, it almost fits. Well, the problem is it almost fits. We need to find a way to make it fit, create its own category or subcategory or something.
And maybe you could curtail the overdevelopment or too compact or too many units by limiting the parcel size. There's already a minimum parcel size, which we don't fit into, the co-housing, because the smallest amount is, like if you were to do an HR, the parcel has to be 10 acres minimum.
Right.
And it only goes up from there. So right. RPC
but
is 40.
Co-housing could be an exception to that.
Right.
And could be limited to 10 acres or less.
Correct.
For instance.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, I think there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. We just have to, you know, really think about how this might be used in a way that we maybe didn't intend for it to be, and then try to anticipate those things. That's all I'm suggesting to you.
Any other questions, IG?
Well, I want to know if stick-to-itiveness is a word.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Is that a real word?
It's a real word, sort of. I've seen it in writing. It's generally hyphenated. So the cows come out.
Are you thinking...
Tenacity might be another word. Okay.
Are these owned? Are these owners?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they could, that or some are condominiumized. And some of the reading that I've done, some of them are condos, some of them are just simple lots. It really depends on how you write the ordinance, too. If you write the ordinance to allow it to be fee simple lots, then that's what it'll be.
Then it would be a much
just
smaller
be a really small lot. It's just going to be a really small lot. And it would almost have to have water and public water and sewer. I don't see how in the world you'd ever do it in private systems. So, but that's not an insurmountable challenge.
One of the ideas that most of the write-ups about co-housing incorporate is this central building for social ability and also having spare bedrooms on the second floor of the building so that these small houses don't have to have the grandkids or the offspring stay in the house with them. You can
book a common guest house. In some
you can
of these,
book the rooms, and I mean that's so much common sense, you know.
Right, which would be another issue we'd have to deal with, you know, in that scenario too. But yeah, I mean that would.
But your theory is in and around the towns, not out.
Here's the thought. You get these parcels, this leftover parcel that's adjacent to a shopping center or something. Now, the idea is you want to be able to walk to some things. Well, there sort of has to be something to walk to,
right?
You know? So I can see that being a place for this, you know, where you had maybe a 2 or 3 acre piece left over, or that the developer wasn't able to do a, you know, whatever out parcel he was planning to do or something. Well, you might be able to put something like this there, and then people could walk to the Wawa or the shopping center or whatever.
This lot is an actual lot just on King's Highway, just past the, excuse my voice, the city line before you get to the high school. And so it would be eminently doable as far as getting down to Second Street. And if I may, I have a tricycle. I've been riding for several years. Very safe, and I ride my tricycle downtown in the summertime every day. I don't even have to put quarters in the meter. and I get exercise. So there are ways for people to get around even if they can't walk a whole lot.
Well, if they have scooters, they have a little, you know, use a scooter, whatever.
You look like you have a question.
I had a question in what your experience or what the models are based on as far as affordability.
Well, of course, the cost of the land is the big issue on the eastern part of Sussex County or all of Sussex County more and more, but certainly around the Lewis-Rehoboth area. So small towns are the places that these have been housed. So it can be in a rural area as long as there's a center for people to become a part of.
But it can't be too rural if to be served well, by water and sewer. You've got to have that, you know, the town isn't going to run water and sewer out to 36 units using this as an example. So you'd have that. That was just my question. I'm not trying to pick it apart. But
this would have to be, in my opinion, really targeted so that all the services are that you want are close by. And the reason one of the reasons we use this as an example is because health services are just down the street. There is city water available and city sewer. The bike path, the new bike path, is nearby. So there's lots of these opportunities already established near this parcel, so that this is the perfect model or example that could be shown.
I think our Lawrence and Vince both, I think, made a mention of the upcoming land use plan, and I think that would be the ideal time to put something forward. So all of your spade work here is right on time, and I think we could pursue this a little bit further, and maybe we can get something in the plan this next time.
Excellent. Right? Thank you so much for your time.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, our next item of additional business is a presentation regarding Lewis Byways Corridor Management Plan.
You have the copies to give me?
Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Gail Van Gilder. I'm the chair of the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway Committee, and we're here this evening to present to you the corridor management plan that has been completed for the byway. And Jeff Green is going to make the presentation, and then we can take questions afterwards.
Thanks, okay? Gail. Forgot to mention, I think we have too short of a quorum of our byway committee here. So we've had a lot of support. So what is a scenic and historic byway? This is the first time that we have presented the Lewis Byway to the Planning and Zoning Commission. We were in front of the County Council last year for one time. This is an update of the presentation because so much has happened since we made that presentation. We've published the corridor management plan and done a number of other things. But what is a byway? Well, the yellow words are key. It's a transportation route, byway. But the next clause that I've yellowed is most important. It has particular, intrinsic, scenic, historic, natural, cultural, recreation, or archaeological qualities. We have a number of them on our Lewis Byway. It's a road corridor that tells a story about a part of Delaware. So these are special roads. And, well, before I get into the history of the byway, let me talk about what those roads are. It's a network in Lewis. Lewis is one of six state byways, one of which is a national byway. It includes New Road, Pilot Town, and Front Street, Cape Henlopen Drive, Savannah Road, King's Highway, and Gills Neck Road. And they all have special features, and I'll talk a little bit about them as we go forward. back in 2009, the committee established its mission. And it's to preserve and enhance those gateways. You saw on the slide previously that these roads are gateways. Gateways from the land were coming from inland, from Route 1, from the north, from the south. The roads have treasured landscapes. New Road, Pilot Town is very special. King's Highway has that gorgeous curve going into Lewis, and I could go on. Rich heritage, there's history. Pilot Town Road, those buildings are gorgeous as you get close to the center of Lewis. Savannah Road becomes just beautiful. Natural resources, what's nicer than the state park and the Great Marsh? And to be sensitive to the needs of the many individuals, communities, and businesses. These folks earn a living off the special qualities that is Lewis and the surrounding area of Lewis. Byway is half in the city and half outside if you go by length of streets. So the city of Lewis sponsored it. It was a citizen-led effort, in fact, to get the city to sponsor the byway. And throughout, we've had city and county council or county participation. The very, very first meeting was in 2008, as you can see. DelDOT approved the nomination in 2009 as part of the Scenic and Historic Highways Program. The Corridor Management Plan was just completed in October. Lewis City Council endorsed the Corridor Management Plan on September 14th, and it was approved by DelDOT on October 19th. We'd like to have a conversation with planning and zoning about your support of this plan, your endorsement of it. Funding. It wasn't all government funded, but we did get a $117,000 federal byways grant for the corridor management plan, and we needed some matching money. And our state legislative delegation stepped forward with $50,000 of those donations, and there was, I think, six of them. They began in 2008 to start the data collection and the public outreach process. We had $9,000, if you look at the not-for-profit volunteer rates of around $22 an hour, $9,000 in volunteer services throughout the entire process. People who actually went out and did something, not just attended a meeting. $3,700 was donated by individual citizens, private citizens, because they want to see the byway branded as a project. $7,000 was granted to us by Councilperson Devra, the county. $3,000 was granted to us by the city of Lewis out of their last budget. So what is a corridor management plan? You all work on your comprehensive plan, and it's like that for the byway. It spells out how the community intends to keep their byway scenic or historic. Remember, a byway is a bubble-up program. It's not top-down where somebody in government decides we ought to have it. The citizens decided that they wanted a byway. Most important, and this was an issue that we hear many times, it's not a regulatory document. It neither grants nor detracts from anybody's property rights. We've accomplished a lot. I mentioned earlier the 2009 approval of the nomination. It's a two-step process. The state, under the law that establishes the byway program, says, we got to say it's a byway. Well, they did in 2009. Phase one was a big public outreach effort. Turned in a report about that thick. We had over 27 citizen meetings.
Nice.
That's the nomination.
The nomination application, which we had to do in order to show the state that there were resources that were worthy of designation. And then after you get that, we had to do a public outreach report and have that approved by the state. And then we also did a transportation management report, which was approved and accepted by DelDOT in 2013.
15.
And now we have just completed the corridor management plan, which is the last step in the designation process.
You know, and you can see as Gail went through this slide, we've accomplished a lot of things, but most important is the last bullet. I counted up all of the different people who didn't just show up at meetings, but they actually said something, gave us guidance and advice. And it was over 130 public officials, agencies, or individual citizens, people who actually contributed something to the effort. We set up some goals, and they were with us through the entire corridor management plan process. And you can see it's preserve, improve, enhance. Use the byway to complete the trail system. You heard Barbara earlier talk about the value of the trails in the Lewis area with her co-housing proposal. This is one of the major uses, to get people out of their cars and onto the trails. We get a lot of them out of the cars. They're not on the roads causing congestion because there's very little we can do to those roads. And that was the point of the management report for transportation. Tell the byway story. There's a lot of stories in those roadways that can be told. And then enhance the heritage and nature-based tourism. This slide is the genesis of your handout because it's tough to read. But for each road, we took a different approach because the roads are each very different. New Road, it's fairly rural still to this day, but we've got to conserve it. We've got to keep it that way. It borders on the Great Marsh in many areas, and we'd love to retain those views. That's very important to New Road. Savannah Road is enhancement. It's pretty well developed all the way out from the beach to Route 1. But the interesting part of it is you go from the beach to Route 1, you go from the old out to the new. And you can see how Lewis and its environment developed. And that was a very important element of Savannah. King's Highway is a developing road. I'm not talking about what's in the city, which is very historic. I'm talking about, again, outside the city, where there's all the open space, which is zoned for development. It's going to be developed. The purpose is to guide the development and guide the transportation characteristics of that development to preserve the context. We would like the character of Lewis to come out to that area rather than the character of Route 1 to come in to that area. And that's a very simplistic way of putting it, but I think it's very visual. Gill's Neck Road, again, it's had a lot of development on it, but the development's a bit set back. And we're working on a landscape plan to develop, to give it back the character that it had, as well as King's Highway, which will also be a subject of the land use plan. I'll talk about that next. Landscape plan. Cape Henlopen Drive, enhance the access to the recreation to the state park. State park is all along one side and at the end. Pilottown Road, preserve and enhance the canal front. That is a magnificent canal front. All the historic houses and what the residents have done on the other side, along with the city of Lewis, it's really special. Talked about King's Highway and Gill's Neck Master Plan, Landscape Master Plan a minute ago. In that developing area, in order to do what I said earlier, bring the character of Lewis out, thanks to funding from our state legislators, we're developing in cooperation with the landowners in the city, and Janelle's a big help to us along these lines, a landscape master plan. How do we want this area to look like? And hopefully we can all come together and come up with a plan that you all can work with and help us get implemented. Another element, I mentioned the Great Marsh. At the end of Pilottown Road is the old ruins of that Green Hill Light. We had an idea for a project. Why not a boardwalk to provide access to that beautiful marsh so people could study it and get access to it, much like DenRec is doing up and down the Bayshore. In this case, though, we wanted to add a little history to it and extend that boardwalk along Pilottown Road over to the monument for the first settlers. Savannah Road Street.
Talk to anyone about being able to get the permits to do a boardwalk, and the difficulties of doing that?
We know it's going to be difficult. We've mentioned it to the folks at DenRec, and nobody has said no yet. But we haven't done the feasibility studies that are necessary to take those steps and answer the question that you asked.
Because while I appreciate boardwalks, there's one aspect that you may or may not know that Denwright doesn't like about the boardwalks, and that's the shadowing.
Right.
The shadowing is a detriment to the spawning areas of a lot of fish and crabs, and takes away from the shedding of when soft shells go to peel.
Right. We've worked with.
You have too significant of a shadowing, just.
Right.
Getting everything else aside from buffers and being able to do it.
It's all about the angles. You get them up, you got to raise it up enough that you can get. Or they have a new boardwalk where you can spread the boards and get it in there. There's you're right, it's a design issue, and it's a very important one. We haven't even speculated as to the exact alignment because we need to really sit down with Fish and Wildlife, who manages the Great Marsh, and make those determinations, because they always have an agenda as well. We're working with them in areas up along the Delaware Bayshore Byway as you go north from Lewis, along Sussex coast and up through Kent County's coast along the Delaware Bayshore. Savannah Road streetscape, again, the same issue. That's a marshland. And what we wanted to do, because in the summer day, there's many, many more bicyclists. They tend to ride on the sidewalk. Tons of pedestrians all over the sidewalk. A lot of traffic on the street. We need more capacity for the non-cars. And what we thought we could do is create a pathway on the east side of Savannah Road from the canal bridge all the way out to the beach. And then along American Legion Drive, create a linkage to go out into the marsh, maybe an outlook area there, but ultimately get it to the Lewis to Georgetown Trail, which will come in that vicinity when they finally decide that location and design and things like that. So we have a grant in to DelDOT for the first part, which is the Savannah Road landscape, and we're waiting for a reply. That project hopefully is going to move ahead. So what are the benefits to the county? Again, 50% of the byway is outside the city. It's in the county. Well, increased business tax revenue from the tourists. Again, the area does get a lot of tourists, but this enhances the tourist experience. And when you start doing that, there are studies that say byways enhance the tourism experience and therefore enhance the dollars. Everyone's different, so quoting you a number is not going to be realistic. It gives you more access to federal and state funding for implementing the projects. We go to the head of the line. That's what that means. Improved maintenance of byway roadways. These get highlighted on the state highway map and all the websites, so I don't think DelDOT's going to want a pothole-filled road. They're going to keep it nice. Access to the resources and expert assistance to manage the byway. There are byway organizations that provide guidance to committees like Gail heads up to help them run and manage the byways, sources of grant money, so that money becomes available for projects and you learn the best practices for managing byways. Identification on state highway maps I mentioned earlier. Directional signing. The byway committee wants to take up the issue of signing the byway. We're already on the Delaware Bayshore Byway taking up the issue of signing and working on a project now. And my project manager is right here, Mike Hahn, to sign the different venues, both within the villages, the cities, and the natural venues. We don't know yet what form that would take for the Lewis Byway. That's something that has to be discussed. And then assistance from offices of state economic development and tourism. When we branded the Bayshore Byway as an example of what they do, they provided a small grant to us, and they also provided technical support as we went through the selection process for our consultant and as we went through the project. So Gail is our chair for the management committee. What does this committee do? Well, it manages the day-to-day affairs. When there's a project anywhere, a development project in the city, out here at the county, utility project, transportation project, any kind of project, the byway committee wants to weigh in on it. A tourist initiative, the byway committee would like to weigh in on it. How are they going to enhance and continue to implement the corridor management plan? And they do that with a force of persuasion, because again, it's not a regulatory committee. They don't have any powers. They just have the power of persuasion. Raising money to implement the projects, maintain and generate support for the byway. And there's a number of programs. The state is assisting the byway committees around the state with byway bucks, which is a way to get discounts and attract people to the merchants along the byways. And then work with all levels of government to effect needed policy changes. So our next step, we are hoping for your endorsement and your support. We are. This commission has a lot of say in what Sussex County is going to look like in the coming years. And you have a lot of say within our byway corridors. And we want to work with you so that the characteristics that the byway wants to preserve are in fact preserved. And we know that all we have is a power of persuasion, but that's what we want to do. So you'll hear from us.
All right then. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
You may.
Mm-hmm.
It's time, according to the...
I'm just curious, because this is going to go back to what we said to Ms. Vaughn's presentation on co-housing. And the timing is good, because we're going to be kicking off a new comprehensive land use plan. One of the things we have talked about internally is making our plan more specific. To the extent we can, we're a big county, but as you may be aware, lawyers can argue both sides of a lot of points in our plan right now. So, but this, I think, is something that I'm curious what your response would be. We heard from Ms. Vaughn that co-housing makes great sense outside the city of Lewis, was one example. But then, if we implement that, and we implement this, some version of both, into our comp plan, like the explanation of New Road seems to suggest that upzonings wouldn't be appropriate, because it talks about the, you know, maintaining the rural, the farms, you know, things like that that currently exist on New Road. You know, Gills Neck Road talks about preserving the undeveloped areas of Gills Neck Road, you know, and certainly King's Highway is King's Highway. How are those two, how would they work with each other? We've got a great proposal for co-housing, yet we've got the Lewis byways that seems to suggest we want to try to maintain the status quo as much as we can, and I could see us back in the same situation we are now, where you can argue one against the other. I just throw that out there, just since we're talking about it.
As I mentioned earlier, the byway is not a regulatory process. In terms of the specificity of a given land use, the corridor management plan doesn't say one type of land use is better than another. It's more of how is it going to look? What's it going to look like?
Visual.
Is it going to respect the character of the area?
It's all about design. And design and landscaping, and you can still build those types of...
So it's more just visually, literally, the corridor that you see as you're going down the
correct
road, not what's away from it.
Okay. Right. And actually, Barbara is a longtime member of the Scenic Byway Committee.
So
I think she could probably answer that question very well.
But it highlights the point that it has to be, the county, if it was to implement these, would have to be very careful in what one says versus the other. Because you can see my point. You could you could take this and argue it against co-housing or other things, you know, or you could say, well, co-housing is inconsistent with this, and therefore we shouldn't do the Lewis byways. You know, that just needs to be, the devil's always in the details.
Exactly. And the fact also that they appear to be relatively small and not terribly dense, shall we say, or, I mean, denser maybe on that parcel, but they're small, so I don't think it would be a huge intrusion by any means.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions?
I guess there, if you don't, just a couple of things that I did want to mention that Jeff might not have emphasized. Okay. And one of those was the working with the county. We are a City of Lewis committee, but our goal is to be a combined City of Lewis County committee. That's what we are working towards. And in order to do that, we have recently appointed several new members from outside of the city to our committee. And there have been several on there all along, but we've expanded that. And Hal Godwin has attended our meetings, through the corridor management planning process. We are working with Janelle and hope that she'll be coming to more of our meetings. Not to put you on the spot, but we could really use you there.
She's always coming for more meetings.
So this is what we're working towards. And, I mean, we've met, with Lawrence Lank and with you, Vince, and throughout the process. So it's not that this is just a City of Lewis project. And I just wanted to make that real clear.
And as I said, with the comprehensive plan, that's starting. There is a level of required intergovernmental coordination. Mm-hmm. And one of the consultants that's been retained has a real heavy transportation background. So I'm sure that they'll be taking all this into consideration as we move forward with the plan.
Yeah, that would definitely help. And the other thing that we would like to ask you, which I guess didn't show up in our presentation, in terms of asking for your support, is that going forward, now that we actually have our corridor management plan done, that the byway would get notification of new development plans as they come into the county so that we would have an opportunity to be able to comment on them. And is there a way to get that done?
I think that direction is probably going to have to come from a group that's maybe the next step up from us. I think that's a decision County Council would have to make as to whether or not they wanted that was something that they want to have happen. I'm sure it can be, but I'm not sure that's our decision. We serve at their pleasure, and our role is actually fairly limited. So it's probably something that County Council would have to decide. Mm-hmm.
But it is at the planning stage that we need to see the plans. I mean, by the time it gets to Council.
I don't disagree mm-hmm. with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think it might be if they feel that, specific notification is needed, I'm sure they can direct the office mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah, it would just be very helpful to us. I know we can keep reading the notices and all of that, but, I mean, DLDOT does notify us now, and that really helps us a lot. And also, Michael Hahn is here with us from DLDOT to answer any of the questions that you have.
Okay. Sure, let me introduce myself. I'm Michael Hahn. I'm the Delaware New Byways Coordinator. Mm-hmm. I've been at the Department of Transportation for over 25 years, and I worked in environmental studies. So instead of receiving projects and getting them through the NEPA process, I'm actually project manager initiating a lot of these projects or programs or guideline documents trying to move forward with specific projects. You mentioned the boardwalk project. Again, it's mentioned as a goal, as a potential project. There's still a lot of studies that still need to be done, engineering, delineations, natural resource coordination. So again, I think I'm pretty fit for the job, not to, pat myself on the back or not. But, I've had several projects in Sussex County and within the town of Lewis or City of Lewis. So I'm very excited to be a project byways coordinator. Just to let you know, our department has officially adopted at least the CMP. So we recognize it as an ongoing program, at least hopefully keep me gainfully employed in the future as we move forward. So I just wanted to point out that I'm excited to be a part of the byways team. We're hoping that there's continued coordination It's been very good right now, and we hopefully in the future continue to do transportation and land use planning together. So this is just another facet to be identified, you know, within that process. So we're really hoping that, you know, trying to move forward, there's that interagency cooperation, not only good, but much better in the future. So I just wanted to point out, too, in Jeff's presentation, real quick, from a technical perspective, he mentioned increased business tax revenues and jobs for tourist dollars. Well, that's true, too, but it's also local. We don't want to specifically target, as we try and move forward, just the tourists. I mean, it is the local byway. It is City of Lewis. It's Sussex County. So it's not just we're trying to target the tourists, per se. So I just want to make that clear, because I know that Jeff presented it. And the identification of state highway maps and directional signing to increase tourism, that's actually to improve directions, too. Again, part of the byway's position, there's various facets behind it, is essentially give better direction towards these destinations, better recreational opportunities, ecotourism, preservation, you could say vehicle enjoyment. You don't necessarily need to get out of your vehicle, but what are your experiences as you're driving along the corridor? So certain things like that. So I just really excited about things. And again, this is a program that I'm excited to work with Jeff, Gail, the rest of the byways crews, and the county as well. Thank you.
Do you have a card?
I do.
With your state email address?
And Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a question.
Too. You may. Go right ahead.
It would be helpful. There's been a sign workshop that's come up, and Jeff Leonard's been there from DelDOT to talk about signage, and the scenic byways have come up.
Thank you.
Sure. And I know that we as a group, meaning that workshop group, didn't have a real clear understanding about what the designation as a byway, like, just by that designation means. Does it add any layers of regulations in and of itself? You know, if maybe you could explain that. Or is it more that there has to be a level of cooperation among all the parties to come up with what we're going to do in the byway? It'd be nice, because I know there's been some confusion. Okay, it's a byway. Does this mean we can't do this now, or we can? Or,
okay. You know? Recently, just because I started this position trying to get in, since there's five other byways, too, that I hopefully try and manage and coordinate.
We learned there's two in Sussex County, the Nanticoke and
actually
Lewis.
Actually, I lived near the Nanticoke Heritage Byway and was involved in some of those early meetings. So I'm really familiar with the concept. And as far as the planning and zoning, giving any kind of endorsement as a body, we really need to take our cue from county council on that, but I can tell you that my personal experience with it has been quite positive.
Now, I'm just wondering if there's anything that through DelDOT or federal regulations or anything else, if there's understanding that immediately with the adoption of the byway, does that bring any new layers on top, or is it after the fact when you work with City of Lewis, the county, the state?
Yeah, I would say that the simple answer is that the byway program from day one said that the only regulation that came with it was on off-premises signs, which are billboards. They took that from the federal regulations for byways. And so that's the only regulation. There are no others as far as signs go or anything else. But that regulation, Mike has been looking
into
get more information on it and see what needs to be done to back that up.
Again, just starting the position and trying to get my feet wet in terms of, like, what are the policies in place as a result. At least from the federal perspective, there could be some billboard regulations within federal laws which prohibit billboards. I know specifically in state law, you can look it up in the Del codes right now, Title 17, Chapter 1 and 11, I forget the paragraphs, but it talks about veritable message boards.
Well, we learned through the sign that there's the big four in the state, and that's what DelDOT regulates. Every other road they don't, which in this would just be Route 9, so all the rest of them wouldn't be automatically regulated by Delta.
I talked to Jeff, and again, we are meeting with our Attorney General.
Okay.
Obviously, I just found out about his discussions in terms of the sign ordinance coordination, so moving forward, we definitely want to work together in terms of making sure that there's consistent applications or policies in place that are recognized. So that way, your decisions match our federal regulations or vice versa, or if there's a difference, how do we work that out?
And to put your mind at ease, existing billboards were grandfathered. So,
I think we had an assumption that billboards were prohibited in the scenic byways. And
new ones are prohibited.
But they indicated that wasn't necessarily the case, as I thought.
They didn't think so, but they had to do a little bit more research.
Okay. And that's what we're trying to get.
To
so that way we really know the answers. It's not a gray area towards things where someone makes, irrational decision, but not knowing.
Right. I mean, I sat on the original committee that set up the byway program for the state, and the place that it came from was the federal regulations. In order to get federal dollars, you would have to abide by that regulation. So,
trust me, we've heard all of that. We know more than we ever did about that with the sign.
Any other questions? All right, then. We thank you very much.
And the other thing, as far as the support in county council and taking, your lead from them, I agree with you completely. I think that we already went to council and presented to them, and they told us that we needed to present to the planning and zoning, and so we're here. And so what we would like you to do, if it's appropriate, would be to at least, send this back to council, hopefully, with a measure of support that you could give to it or encourage them to do that so that we can now go back to them and get them to handle that.
Okay.
All right?
All right, then.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
One last thing. Thank you for all your time. But the corridor management program is on DelDOT's website, and I realize we gave you the copy of the management plan. There is the appendices as well, so you all have my business card. You're welcome to give me a call to try and figure out where it is on DelDOT's website or direct someone else to, well, where is it in case they want to take a look at it specifically, what is said or not said or the graphics behind it. So it is posted online, so it is publicly available.
Okay.
The website address is on the executive summary that you have. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more item of additional business this evening. It is the discussion regarding converting planning commission districts to match council districts.
If I could, there's a map in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. The heavier dark lines are the current planning commission member districts, and the thin lines are the current councilmatic districts, and then the towns are located on the map as well.
Okay.
Can I ask one question? I was trying to follow. Disregard all my errors, but there's a little piece that I guess what would that be? That would be.
This is part. This comes up and then comes back down.
So which part is that one of? Is that part of our LET?
That is part of our LET district.
Okay.
It comes up, and then it comes back down, and then this is the boundary for Councilman Cole's district.
Oh, I see. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Thanks.
I think the south shore of probably there of Vines Creek.
Yeah, right.
What you say?
So these are the districts as they exist today.
Correct.
Okay. And there's not really in there. We call them districts, but the state code has councilmatic districts spelled out in state law. You won't find the word district for commissioners anywhere spelled out. It's a term, but it doesn't have the same meaning.
What's the suggestion that we go back to observing the county council district lines as our boundary lines? Or what?
That's up to you all. That was kind of what was talked about.
Well, that would be the black lines.
Yeah.
Well,
no, that would be
that
the white
line.
Not
be the black line, it'd be the thin lines.
The black lines are what it is now.
Black lines are what we do now.
Is it the thin kind of squiggly lines are the current council districts.
That means that Mr. Smith would run from Del Mar to the ocean.
Yeah, and Mr. Johnson moves from where he is completely over to Georgetown, Millsboro, and what, Greenwood?
Greenwood, Bridgeville.
Yeah.
Well,
I brought it up. And I think part of it comes about from activity in the area in which I represent currently, which involves three different council people, or is it four? Wilson, Deaver, and Cole, I guess, right?
No, you got a little bit.
You got four.
You got a little bit of Arlette, too.
I've got a little bit of Arlette.
Yeah, I've got a little Arlette, too.
Just a little piece.
Just a little piece. So I think part of it to me was in terms of sharing the workload for whoever might be sitting in my seat.
If we made your district a little bit bigger, you could have some of Mike Vincent's. Now, if you're stuck at four and you wanted a fifth councilman,
Maybe my issue is I'm not busy enough. But at the same time, I think from a geographic standpoint, Mr. Smith, I think it would be difficult for you because you'd be covering both sides of the Bay Area. Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, we all cover the entire county, am I correct? And the sort of designations that we get on the agenda have someone pretty much in the lead on a particular application because of the thought that that there may be something in particular that someone knows a little bit more about, something that might be going on over at the intersection of Cockpat, or someone else that knows something at Springfield Crossroads, or wherever it may be on the map. But I do recognize that Mr. Johnson has been has had a
lot of the agenda items.
If you go way back, it changed several times. One of the issues that we found was that most of the commission members go look at the sites anyway, but I think it was Broadkill Road. The line split at Broadkill Road at one time, and Mr. Allen and whomever, I forget who it was, on the other side of that line, both went to Broadkill Beach because they thought, I mean, that's where their boundary line stopped it at the store at the back. And they would go in each direction, but it made more sense to put all of Broadkill Beach on one commission member's side, so we just switched the line down to the river. We used the river for a boundary for a while, and then we changed it again, and now it's the lines that we're using as we're mapped. And we've probably changed them six times in 4 years.
So it might make more sense to let Mr. Burton have both sides of Savannah Road so that he's on one side, I'm on the other side.
Same issue. Basically the same issue, though.
He can have Kings Highway wise out it, too.
Dang it.
We all do see the sites, and we all do represent the. We all do represent the county. We're not by being appointees. We're not elected. That we don't have a.
Would it make it easier for you all? If you, just you followed the council map district. I mean, is this map a problem?
I don't have a problem with either of them.
It works either way. Really up to you all. You've never sat down and talked with the council about whether they feel that they should be, the person they appoint should be representing them specifically. The commission basically serves countywide.
Yeah, and there's nothing in the code that says that it has to, you know, because you're appointed by a council that you have to represent a specific area. You're appointed to the county planning zoning commission.
Well, and I guess part of the reason why it came up for me was, I know initially, and part of Janelle's learning curve was that, we had different ones of us were listed as the on our
lead.
And but yeah, that sense is I don't think that's an issue anymore. But I think that's what kind of brought it up for me was, you know, would it reduce some of the confusion if it was along the councilmatic lines versus the way it is now. Not that I'm trying to shirk any of my duties, because as Mr. Smith pointed out, we cover the whole county.
At the same time, you've probably also had 70% of the applications here, it seems like that way. If you go by that.
If you use Mr. Wilson's boundary, then you're going to be driving a lot more than you're doing.
Okay.
It really gets all the way to the corner of
Kent,
Maryland.
Right. But as we all know, there's not a whole lot of in those parts of the county either when it comes to time.
That's true.
I don't have a problem with the area I cover. You know, I was very familiar with the area before I ever got on the commission, and I found roads I didn't know existed since then. part of it was courtesy of Mr. Blank and his chauffeur he did when I was first on the commission. And,
Which is still available to all of us, correct? I took my lights in the way. Yeah, we're still available. We need big things.
Well, I know the CCS deal made it easier, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, by the way, anytime you can give us a street address,
even as close.
Even just pick one that's like next door or something, or across the street, because that makes it way easier. I never was in part of the chauffeur program because I didn't think it was fair to ask him to do that. I'm sure he would have done it if I'd asked him, but he already had the two groups of two. He was already.
We can only take two at a time.
He can only take two at a time, so that would mean he had to do the third trip just for me, so that really wasn't hardly fair. So, but with the technology we have today, anytime we can get a 911 address, that's even if it's, like I said, even if it's the one across the street, it'll get us in the neighborhood.
We have been on your information sheets, trying to put them on there, just so you know.
We
appreciate it.
Difficulty on the agenda when you throw the 911 address in. If it's a large parcel, it won't give you an address.
Yeah, I know.
So we end up with a good majority of them, you won't have a number. So we'd have to go to some other source to give you a location button.
Right.
Yeah. Other than even though we give you a roadside and dimension, but then that's difficult to figure out a car.
Right.
But we give you the footage rather than the tenth of miles or whatever. Even the cars today don't even show tenth of miles anymore.
Right.
We don't break it down like you.
And the flip side of it is that you just take out the references to the commission area altogether.
Right.
I mean, you do represent the entire commission, but then somebody's still going to have to take the lead on it.
Somebody needs to be the lead. Yeah.
But that was the intent. The intent was that they would know, the commission members knew that at least that one person was going to be able to visit that site before it came to public hearing.
Right.
And even though almost all of you go to every site,
right,
it's guaranteed that one person went. And the difficulty before is, and you can see it with Mr. Cole's area, if Rodney's in Mr. Cole's area, he's going to, he had basically drive all the way around the inland bays and around, which he's going to do anyway.
Okay. Just like George does. So if we went back to councilmatic districts, it really wouldn't matter a whole lot, what we're saying? Would help you, Mike? Would that help you?
Well, I'm not trying to shirk any responsibilities here in terms of taking the lead on any of the projects. I've enjoyed
that.
Some of the bigger ones. I've enjoyed even more of the smaller ones. But.
Well,
they've enjoyed your stock
of sticky notes.
So. Yeah, I did.
Maybe there's another way to look at it, too. I mean, because we don't have to act on this tonight.
Yeah. If that was Mr. Ross.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I think we should wait till he's here.
But maybe council managing districts aren't the answer, and maybe just offer this out here, if Janelle or Lawrence or somebody could just show the planning commission districts, and maybe, I don't know how much, just at least the major roads, and if there's like a boundary that can shift one way or the other on one of the areas that would, you know, maybe help out a little bit.
Savannah Road.
Yeah, whatever, I don't know which ones, but yeah. And maybe that's a better way to do it, just look at specific boundaries on some of them, because maybe not all of them need fixing, but some of them they can be adjusted a little bit. We can go forward with that. Anyway, just
thanks a lot, sir.
Are the councilmatic districts done by roads, or are they just...
No, they jump all around.
They're done by census.
Some of them arbitrary
lines. Done by census.
Yeah, it's arbitrary, or they get, because they were shifted.
Well, they call them census.
Based on census tracts and census plots.
So that was the last census. Census.
It was just look at every census.
They change every 10 years.
And it's like the inland bays issue. We create a line basically to the center of the inland bays so that one commission member didn't have to go all the way around the inland bays.
Right. Well, why don't we continue to investigate, and when Mr. Ross gets back, we can make a decision. How's that? Mr. Ross I say this about Mr. Ross. He's been very energetic and has been an exemplary member of this commission, especially here of late after he's had his retirement. And he's really been ready, willing, and able to take a lead on a lot of issues I think we've seen in. Perhaps much to the chagrin of some of the applicants, but you know he's done a lot of investigative work and emailing you and asking about densities in surrounding areas and things. And because if I just speaking for myself without Mr. Ross being in here, but if there was something I think that either he or I could do that would maybe take an extra agenda item at the discretion of the chairman. During the course of a meeting, I wouldn't mind doing that. Because we all do serve the county.
Well, I wrote on mine having a bigger geographical area anyhow. Now that I'm a W-2 employee and I get paid, I get mileage.
That's
works out pretty good.
But Mr. Smith brings up an interesting approach. It, maybe you just rotate the lead without regard to where they are. If we're all already going to look at all of them anyway, and if you just start with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and wherever whichever one is you're designated the lead person, you're the lead person.
Keep track of that.
Bingo. Bingo. Yeah, all right.
There you go, have a lottery.
How hard could it be? You just go look at the last agenda, and wherever you left off, you pick up with the next one.
Somebody wouldn't be here, that would screw it up.
I think we'd just start fresh with the new agenda, yeah. Or we just kind of, every new agenda, we reverse it or something. We could just randomly assign them.
We need to have Mr. Rawls in the discussion, I think, before we make that decision. But let's keep thinking about it and we'll talk about it.
How hard would it be to draw it up, though, with just superimpose it on major roads? Take out the councilmatic districts.
And just put it on the roads?
Yeah.
With the highways?
Yeah, the major roads, like nine.
I'd have to see what layer I have for major roads. I know I have all of them.
Yeah, I just didn't know with all of them it would be too cluttered. But
yes, it is.
Yeah.
I'll play with it.
Yeah, okay. Because it may be either we do Mr. Wheatley's way or just shift some line.
And know. Before we see again, we're going to have a color printer. A color printer down.
Oh, okay.
Down that. So.
Okay.
That's why I got this.
Anyway.
We're going to have a color printer by the time we see you.
Okay. Very good.
Is Mr. Ross out again next week? Next day?
Actually, I think he's
out for the month.
He's out by the month. Yeah. So it'll be our first meeting in February. Let's
bring it up again for the meeting in February.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do that. Referring back to our public hearings. Public hearing, change of zone number 1790, Carillon Square Apartments, LLC.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, after a lot of careful consideration, I've prepared a motion.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, concerning change of zone number 1790 for Caroling Square Apartments. My motion is for deferral.
Second. Move seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1790 Caroline Square Apartments LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was change of zone number 1791 Caroline Square Apartments LLC.
And Mr. Chairman, regarding this change of zone 1791, I had prepared a motion for this, and that would be for deferral.
And that is in the spirit of sharing your workload, right?
There you go.
It's a heavy lifting motion, just for deferral.
I'll second that.
Further consideration and allow Mr. Ross to participate should he so choose.
Second.
Move seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1791, Caroline Square Apartments LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right then, that completes our agenda for the evening. Mr. Lang, anyone else have anything for the good of the order?
In 2 weeks.
All right then. We stand adjourned.